11:34, we are juiced, man. Come home. My voice is taking a toll. I was at a tournament this weekend, a baseball tournament in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Anyone been to Williamsport, Pennsylvania? Like, it's a beautiful drive, like sick drive. Like, you're just like, you're driving through these amazing big hills. They're not mountains, but they're really big hills. We've got some hills and valleys here, but when you're driving down 15 particularly, it is stunning and just constantly being reminded. And there's these amazing, beautiful streams, and there's an amazing dam there. There's a huge lake behind it. And I was just like, God, this is your fingerprint, man. This is so amazing that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And just a great reminder of a beautiful area that we live in, man. And it's been so good. It's been so good. I got up early this morning from Williamsport. Renee and Eman are still there. They're done playing baseball, but they are going to be on their way shortly. I left Williamsport this morning early. Have you ever noticed there's a difference? Watch this. There's a difference when you're driving at night and you're yawning at the end of the day compared to getting up early in the morning and yawning at the start of the day, right? There's a different hope there. You're right. Like, at the end of the day, you're yawning because you're about to crank. And then when it's the morning yawn, you're like, I'm just getting cranked up. Like, here we go. I got here plenty of time for church. Very excited to be here this morning. And it's just great because actually right now, I'm actually preaching in two different places. It's kind of cool, right? Like, my brother Todd is a board member at a church in Seattle, in Tacoma, Washington. Not quite Seattle, but in Tacoma, Washington. And he had asked if I would speak the message for today at his church, because they are opening next Sunday as their first opening. They're opening with a new pastor. My man Todd, who leads worship for his church, he was in charge of the committee to find the new pastor, right? So he's like, listen, we've been doing all of these recorded messages. And he said, I want you to bring the last recorded message before we open, to kind of bridge that gap from the old pastor to the new pastor. And just so right now I'm like in two places at once. It's kind of cool. It feels good. I'm digging that right now. Here we go. Come on. And we recorded it last week or a week and a half ago. On a Friday, I think it was, last 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, Friday. So it was just good. And I got, you know, Todd let me have the mic, and I just start telling funny stories about Todd, and he can't rebut it. So it's just kind of cool. His church will get an earful today. Right now, he's like, I shouldn't have. I can't believe I let him talk. It's just amazing. But come on, welcome to Believer's Chapel. And I want to start today and next week and maybe one more week, but I know it's 2 weeks, on talking about the bubble wrap church. And trying to unpack what that means. Because we're in a season right now that's kind of a crazy season, right? There's this COVID thing going on. There's this racial tension going on. And I'll probably be going live this week just to really communicate some things that have been going on in Chicago. And now bombs are being thrown at cops. And that's for this week. I could unload on that, but I choose not to right now in this moment. But we live in a season right now that I have myself, I'm only 50. I got a long ways to go unless Jesus returns. And it's not that long of a life. And I certainly don't discredit what many of you that are in the fourth quarter have seen. But in my short time on the earth, it just seems like it's more crazy than I've ever seen. You've got this COVID thing that is a real thing, but yet there's very much two sides to that story. And I have no issues with people wearing masks. But then when you cross a line of being in complete total fear, where fear has taken over, where you've got people that are behind a piece of plastic, and then they have this plastic shield on their face, and then they have a mask on their face, but yet I can hand them my card and my cash and we can give high fives. It's just, I'm just like, I'm missing something here. But when it creeps in to where we think the church is so fragile. And I've been so excited to preach this, because we try to bubble wrap people, and you can't bubble wrap people. They've tried to bubble wrap people, and you just can't. But then I think there's times that bubble wrap sense walks into the church, and you walk into a place where when you bubble wrap something, you put it in a box, it's bubble wrapped, and you put it on the outside of the box, fragile, handle with care. And I think, watch this, man, because this is going to be one of those 2 or 3 week bangs that you come to a place to think, why was I so afraid? Why did I think that the church, I think people are afraid because they come to a place to think the church is in danger of closing. That the church is in danger. Like the enemy's got a foothold in the church. And like we try to bubble wrap the church, like the church is supposed to be this fragile, weak little package that we have to handle and we're supposed to tiptoe with because we think the church is so fragile. Because the church is about to break. And let me assure you biblically today and next week that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Come on, BC, when you understand that, we can start taking the bubble wrap off and say, we're going to be okay. The church, and I'm not talking BC, I'm talking the church. Man, we're a toothpick when it comes to the church as a whole. We're a toothpick and a sliver when it comes to the church that I'm talking about, the church that is Jesus Christ as the head of the church. Listen, it's going to be okay. The creator of the universe knows exactly what's going on, knew exactly what was going to take place when he founded this incredible creation called earth, knew what would take place in this exact moment today. When he created the earth before the foundations of the world, he's already been here. So when you come to a place to realize, is everything going to be okay for the church that the Jesus Christ is the head of? I promise you that everything is going to be okay to the church. And it's time to take the bubble wrap off and quit tiptoeing and thinking we're in danger of something when Jesus Christ is our head. Can I get an amen, please? Amen? Oh, second service got some juice today. Here we go. Come on, Matthew 16, please. Lord, bless this word. Help us to just see it for exactly what you've written it to be and to not be afraid. Here we go. I want you to see this, Matthew 16, verse 13. This is an amazing part of the passage here. And this is one of those sections in Scripture that is highly debatable. And we'll touch on that. I'll tell you my theological pitch. And then we'll go from there. But I love this. This is Jesus. You got to understand the timing here, right? This is Matthew 16. Jesus has been in ministry now for quite some time. Jesus is well known, right? When someone would say, Jesus is coming, I mean, they would wait for Jesus. They would hear somehow that Jesus got in a boat and he's going across the lake or across the sea. There would be people on the other side waiting because they heard Jesus is coming. So when someone would say, Jesus is coming, man, the crowds would come. People would come. Jesus is coming. Those who are broken, those who are sick, those who need to be healed, even those to be raised from the dead, those who had demon possession, those who needed food, he'd feed thousands and thousands and thousands of people at a time off a loaf of bread and some fish. Like, Jesus is coming. This was a moment in his ministry. This was a season in his 3-year ministry that Jesus was well known. And it was a big deal when Jesus would show up. Things would get done. Miracles would happen. People would be healed. People would be free from demon possession. People would be fed. People would be raised from the dead. Jesus would begin to teach, and people would just sit under his teaching and be amazed. I've never heard anything like this man. So Jesus was becoming a big deal. And he asks this amazing question here in verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, this is I love it because we have a book called Philippians, and this is where a church was planted in Philippi, and this is the Philippian church, and this is where Jesus is coming into. The church yet hasn't been formed. It happens after the cross, but Jesus is in this region. And he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? That's a deep question. Hey, guys, listen, you're in the crowd. When I show up, Jesus knows he's the miracle worker. He knows exactly who he is. He knows exactly what it's going to do before the town even accepts him in. Jesus knows what's going to happen. Hey, listen, when I show up, You guys got your ear to the ground. Like, what do you hear? Who do people say that I am? And then they start giving their answers. And they just start kind of They start going rapid fire here. Disciple after disciple, they're just kind of going rapid fire. Well, and they said, that means several of them piped in. You got to see this now. They said, you've got the disciples and they just start firing off some names, right? Watch this. And they said, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still yet others say Jeremiah. Oh, I love this. Or you're one of the prophets. And Jesus is like, okay, well, John the Baptist, like John's my cousin. He was born within the same, how could I be John the Baptist when we walked the earth at the same time? We were in the same place at the same time on many occasions. We're actually related. We walked together. We talked together on the same time. He's just slightly a few more months older than I am. Are you John the Baptist? Really? Well, some say that you're Elijah. And others, many others, they say that maybe you're Jeremiah. And then they just blanket the whole thing and say, well, maybe he's just one of the prophets. And then Jesus reels them in, right? Jesus is so good at reeling them in. And Jesus asks this very targeted question. You got to get it because it leads in to where we're going. And then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? I could imagine that they all were very quick. Well, some say that you're John the Baptist. And then Matthew would pipe in. Well, some say that you're Elijah. And then John would pipe in and say, some say that you're Jeremiah. But then when Jesus gets targeted, he says, well, who do you say that I am? I ain't answering that. Like, hey, John, why don't you answer that? I ain't answering that. I don't know. Man, Peter, why don't you? And then Peter steps to the plate like he does. Watch this. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, you are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. And I love this because you can understand where Jesus is coming from. You can understand where they're answering for the crowd. Hey, you've got your ear to the ground. Here's what the crowd says. But hey, guys, you know me more than anyone else knows me. You've walked with me. You've talked with me. We've slept. We've laughed. We've cried. You've seen miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. You are closer to me than anybody. Who do you say that I am? And Peter's like, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. I know you to be the Messiah. I know you to be the anointed one. You are the Son of God. That's who I know you to be. And then watch what Jesus says. This is huge. This is huge. I love this. And Jesus says this. And then Jesus turns to him, verse 17. And then Jesus turns to him. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Verse 18 is clutch, is where we're going to hang out with. Come on. But I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it or will not prevail against it. Now I want you to see this because he says this. Listen, God, Peter, you didn't see this on your own. Your eyes have been opened to see who I am. And it has been revealed to you by my Father. It has been revealed to you by God Almighty that you would understand with very clear who I am. That yes, I am the Christ. Yes, I am the Messiah. Yes, I am the Son of the living God. He says, listen, amen. Yes, God revealed that to you. And I love this verse 18. But I also say that you are Peter. And upon my rock, and upon this rock, he says, I will build my church. Now listen, here's where there's a ton of debate on Matthew 16, 18. There's a ton of space on this. And you've got two different Greek words. You've got two different Greek words. One where he calls Peter a little stone or a little pebble. And then he says, upon this rock, which means a foundational, huge boulder type rock. So you've got two, this is important. This is two different words that define two different pieces of stone. One's a little pebble. And here he says, upon this rock, he uses a different word, and he says, this is the foundation stone. This is what you build on. And you've got really three different theological positions in this. One of them is, and the position is, when he says upon this rock, Peter, I'm going to change your name to Little Rock, but upon this rock, there's one theological position, a large denomination that thinks that Peter is the foundation in which Jesus is going to build his church. But yet, I hold no weight in that whatsoever. Because the next little scene we have right after this, he's calling Peter Satan. Like that, and there's a lot to that in a sense of Peter is not the foundational rock. There's a huge denomination that would think that that would be accurate, and that's just not theologically sound. The second one is upon this rock I will build my church. And the second theological idea here is that rock is all of the little living stones, which you and I are considered to be living stones all together that form this foundation. That has a little bit of merit to it. But where I stand on this and what I believe to be true is we go back and we read before it and we find out after it and we read before it where it says, and again, right back to verse 13, where now Jesus came into the district and he says this, he was asking his disciples, who do you say that I am? I'm sorry, verse 14, who do you say, verse 16, who do you say that I am? And then Peter says this, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I think when you look at verse 18, here it is, that when Jesus is saying upon this rock, upon this statement that you've made, that yes, I am the Christ, I am the Son of the living God. And I believe that Jesus is very clearly here. My position on this, just so you know, is that Jesus is referencing himself as the cornerstone, which we see from Old Testament to New Testament. You see it in Ephesians 2. You see it prophesied in Isaiah. You see it prophesied in Isaiah. You see it in Ephesians 2. You see the prophecy from Isaiah spoken again through Matthew and Mark. And you see where Jesus himself says, I am the cornerstone of the church. That means I am the stone, the cornerstone, that which the church will be built on. So I believe that this truly is the position that Jesus is speaking in reference to, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon this rock, upon that statement, upon that foundation. The rock here is a big boulder foundation that Jesus himself truly is the cornerstone. So we got to get that to move on because here it is. Here's the statement that we're going to break apart today. Next week is this. When he says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades or the gates of hell will not overpower it. We deal with the gates of hell will not overpower it. That's next week. This week, we're going to break this down because Jesus, watch this. Now, Jesus makes a statement here that is a statement that isn't done yet. When Jesus said, upon this rock, meaning himself as the cornerstone, I will build my church. I, who? Jesus will build, meaning using who? Who does he build? We are his possession, church. And when you see the word church here, this is speaking in regards to the whole church, not Believer's Chapel, but the church, men, women, child, church as a whole, the whole congregation of a church. Jesus says, I, upon this rock, upon me, the cornerstone, I will build my church. And guess what, BC? You got to know this. He is still building his church today. He wasn't just speaking it through Peter, but he's speaking to us today, going, hey, this is a continuous statement, and it's going on, and it's going on, and it's going on, and it's going on until his great return. He is going to continue to build his church. And as he's building his church, the gates of hell will not, man. They cannot overpower the church. Can we say amen to that? Right? Come on. I love it. Turn to Revelation chapter 5, please, because I want you to see this. I want to make this so clear today that we're going to break down four statements, right? I love this. I love breaking it down word to word. He says, I, is what we're going to cover right now, will build, that's who he builds it with, my, meaning we are his possession, church. Come on, look at this. Revelation 5, here it is. And I want you to see this because now this is the Apostle John, right? He's gone to a place to see this vision. He's been taken up into heaven. He sees this vision. And then he drops something on us in Revelation 5 that we've got to begin to really understand who the I is here. Like really, truly, Jesus Christ right now He is raised from the dead, sitting at the right hand of the Father, sitting on the throne. And there is this show that's taking place in the heavens that John got a glimpse of. And when you begin to see who is it that builds his church, then listen, we've got to begin to understand it is time to take the bubble wrap off. It is time to start thinking in a sense of conquering. It's time to start thinking that Jesus, who is the one who builds the church, listen, the church isn't fragile, right? The church isn't about to break. The church isn't going under because Jesus, get it. Sean Obergefell doesn't build Believer's Chapel. That's not Sean Obergefell. I don't build this church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, which means he's the head of Believer's Chapel. And when we know that, there's a foundation that we stand on as his church to say we will never be overpowered. And when you get this, I want you to see the eye here, and it builds some confidence in you and I to know everything's going to be okay because Jesus Christ has got it. Now, I want you to see this, right? Revelation chapter 5. We're going to pick it up in verse 9. And then they sang a new song. Isn't it amazing? There's just a lot of singing going on. Right? There's just a lot of singing. We sing here. Just wait. Woo! Just wait till we get home. Come on. And we sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you, again speaking to the eye, and you, this is Jesus, you who were slain, purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and every tongue and a people from every nation. Church, we've got to get this. The church is bigger than you think it is. Man, we've gotten this American mindset that we think the Bible was written for America. The Bible was not written for America. We weren't even in place when the Bible was written. When you begin to understand the reality of the Word of God, that it is every tribe and it is every nation, and there will be a people from every nation and every tribe and every tongue that belongs to Jesus Christ. And when we understand that, the church is bigger and stronger than you could ever think. Way bigger than here right now, right? When you understand and see the reality of this, I want you to see it. Watch this. This is taking place. This is defining Jesus. Here it is. Watch this. Again, worthy are you to take the book and break its seals. For you who were slain, purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. For you have made them to be a kingdom and a priest to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Then I looked, verse 11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels. Here it is. And I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. And the living creatures and the elders and the numbers of them were myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. Listen, John gives this picture that there is this countless, millions upon millions upon millions, and a countless number of what has taken place around the throne. They're celebrating the one who says, I'm the head of the church. They're celebrating the one that says, it's upon me that I will build my church. When you understand the reality of how great our King is and how great our Lord is, for he is the King of kings and he is the Lord eternal and he is the Lord of lords and he is the King of all nations, and you begin to break this thing down and be reminded. Today's a reminder. Today and this week and next week and maybe the week after, I got to see where we get to, is just this amazing reminder that we belong to him, that it's Jesus Christ. It's not us. It's Jesus Christ who says, this church belongs to me. And to know everything's going to be okay. And I love this. There's this scene in heaven where you've got this countless number that is just around the throne. They say this, and watch this, saying with a loud voice. I love that, right? Because I'm loud. I get loud. Like, I can't talk because I'm the parent who's just getting on the kids at the baseball field, right? Everything is silent. I'm like, I don't care if this is like Little League. These kids need some juice. Like, what is taking place right now? Like, we're playing like this is T-ball. Get in. Let's go, right? Go in the dugout and pump them up. And E-Man's just like, whatever. Like, it's okay to be loud, right? And we think, we jack it up here, and we think, listen, I love this. Oh, just wait till we get to heaven. I'm going to blend in, man. I'm be like, woo, here we go. Like, I'm going to match volume in heaven. Like, God's going to give me a voice. Then I can sing. It'll be amazing. The voice of angels in heaven will be incredible. I don't know where Olivia gets it from. I thought it was from me, but Renee's like, not really, Sean. It's not from you at all. Well, it will be when I get to heaven, because I'm gonna sing with a loud voice. I'm gonna blend in. Are you ready to blend in heaven? Come on, right? Here we go. I love this. And this is what they're saying with a loud voice. And again, you got to get this scene, man. There is millions and millions. There's a countless number. And this is what they're screaming. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Listen, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Watch this. Here it is. Here it is. This is how great our Christ is, man. This is how big our King is. And every created thing. Come on, every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things. Isn't it amazing that when you think about the birds, you think about the insects, you think about the worms, you think about the whales, you think about the great whites, you think about the walleye, you think about the bears, you think about the deer, you think about the animals, you think about the trees. What does it say? Here's how big it is. This is a celebration of our Jesus. This is a celebration of our Christ. This is a celebration of our King. That every created thing, this is what they're saying. Watch this. To him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion, which means authority and reigning forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen. They just kept saying, amen. They just kept saying, amen, which means so be it, which means it is, amen. And they fell down and they began to worship him. This is the one who leads the church. Do you think for a moment that we're in trouble? Jesus Christ has it. It is he when he says, listen, I am that cornerstone, that I am that rock, and upon me, the rock, I, Jesus, will build my church. Again, we see everything is going to be okay. The church is not fragile. The church is not broken. And we come to a place to be reminded again of very much who is it that oversees the church. Whose church is it? It's his. And we're going to be okay as a church. Now come on, let's turn to Acts, please, because I want you to see this. Acts 16 gives it's just, it kind of breaks down a great picture. This is, you've got Paul and Silas and Timothy. They're trying to go into Philippi. They're trying to make themselves to Philippi to start a church, the Philippian church. And here they kind of get sidetracked a little bit. And this is who this church, these are the founding members of the Philippi church. And I think we come to a place, this is where this is about us now. We know the I, and then he says, we'll build. Well, the question for me is, who does he use to build? And I love it because sometimes we think that we just got to be perfect before he can use me. I got to get all my chips ready, man. I got to get my A game going. Man, I got to be 4 for 4 before I can be used again. Like, we actually have this mindset that he's going to build the church on perfect people. That it's that which got all their junk together that he's going to use. Well, that is not what the scripture shows. Listen, you look at the disciples, they were a mess. Look, they were a bunch of stinky fishermen, untrained, uneducated. And Jesus Christ said, yep, you've got a tax collector who is evil, false, and a liar. And Jesus said, yep. When you come to a place to begin to see the reality of Jesus says, the church is mine. It's me who's doing the work, but this is who I choose to use. This is what my church is made up of. And you see it in Acts 16. This is just a smidge of what's really out there, in a sense, scripturally, to see that, guess what? Jesus Christ uses broken people to build his church. Jesus Christ uses the untrained and the uneducated. Jesus Christ uses you and I. That's me and you. If you're waiting for that perfect call, it ain't coming. Church, if you think Believer's Chapel is perfect, I've got another day for you to listen up, right? No, seriously. This is the deal. This church is filled with a bunch of broken people who just want to love Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. What happens when you get that mindset that you think this place is perfect? You walk in and yes, listen, I know how good it is, and I know the team that we have, and I know the volunteers that we have, and I know the work that is being done is like a work that we've never seen. But I can assure you, please hear me, it's done with a bunch of broken people. who answered a call to say, God, I'm just a cop. I want to put as many handcuffs on people as I possibly can arrest. That's my game. Well, I want you to do this. Yeah, but I want to do this. And there's a battle that took place. You come to a place to begin to realize that that is our story, every single one of us in this house, that Jesus says, I will build. Well, who are you going to use to build your church? The uneducated, the untrained, the broken. And we see it here in Acts 16. It's amazing. Because you see Acts 16, they're going and they're traveling, and they come across verse 13 says this, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, and where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer, I sat down and began speaking to a woman, to the women who had assembled. And I love that the women were having this prayer meeting, man. They were looking for something to happen. And a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabric, a worshiper of God, was listening to the Lord, opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. Isn't it amazing? You've got this businesswoman. She's selling her fabric, her purple robe, which was a sign of royalty. She was a businesswoman selling to royalty. She was this businesswoman that was making and selling fabric. And yet it says that she was a worshiper of God, but then she started hearing about Jesus. And you got to understand this, there's this transition from Old Testament to New Testament. There's a transition to those in this time period who truly walked in a fear of God, that did worship God through Old Testament. Now all of a sudden there's Jesus. There's this one that died on a cross named Jesus, who was God's only son, put himself on a cross so that to bridge that gap from Old Testament to New Testament. And here you, this is amazing, because you got Lydia, who's a worshiper of God, who then begins to understand, hold on, I now need Jesus. And she comes to a place to be one of the very first converts, and she's just a businesswoman. Who do we see for the second? This is amazing. Who's the second convert for this church? When Jesus says, we'll build. Who's he used to build this church? Yes, there's a businesswoman. Let's look at this. In verse 18, you see where this story begins to build about this young slave girl. And she's being used for a profit. She's in a type of trafficking. Watch this. She's in a type of trafficking where she's being used by some adult men to go out being filled with a demon to prophesy and fortune tell so that they can make money. This was this young girl's life. And here you've got this young girl, and she's just following Paul and just on his heels and just being such a pest. Finally, Paul, listen, watch this. Finally, Paul turns around, verse 18. She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, watch this, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And it came out of her that very moment. So who's the second convert for this church? You've got this demon-possessed girl that was in some type of trafficking, that Paul turns around and says, hey, I've had enough. I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her. So you've got this demon-possessed girl who now comes to a place to say, I'm in. I'm a part. And then you see where Paul and Silas, because of these actions, get thrown into jail. And here you have this amazing part of this where they're singing praises at midnight, and then all of a sudden the jail begins to shake, and then all the doors open up, and you've got this jailer, this tough Roman jailer, who comes to this place. They sees all the doors open up, thinks that these guys have escaped, and he's about to take his own life. Paul and Silas are like, hey, we're still here. And now you've got this jailer who comes to this place to say, I need what you got. What is happening? Where now him and his whole household comes a place to know Jesus. What happens, we see, when you can come to a place to realize, you mean God wants to use me to be a part of his church? Well, yeah, seeing that's kind of his mojo through all of Scripture, of taking the untrained and the uneducated and taking the broken and taking the hurting and taking the demon-possessed and taking those who've got mistakes under their belt, that you come to a place where Jesus said, listen, I know what I'm doing. If I needed perfect people, I'd have a zero. Church, what happens when you come to a place to see where Jesus is like, listen, you're here on purpose. I'm not saying BC, I'm talking about his church. You have a place in his church. Yeah, but I'm broken. Yeah, you have a place in his church. Yeah, but you don't know my story. Yeah, but you have a place in his church. Yeah, but I'm, yeah, you have a, listen, you can't ignore that. You can't come to a place to say, I don't know. I think I need to get my stuff ready. I think I need to be better. I think I need to get on my A game. I think. And Jesus is like, listen, you got a place. Broken as you're broken. Messed up as you're messed up. You have a place in my church. Listen, when you come to a place where Jesus Christ is saying, listen, I am the rock and I am the foundation and I am the cornerstone and I am building my church and I'm building it with messed up, broken people. Guess what? Church, we all qualify. Amen. And you come to a place to say, okay, everything's going to be okay. Jesus Christ knows what he's doing. He knows what's taking place. If he's saying I belong, then I belong. Now watch this. Here it is. The third point is this. Here we've got the I will build. And then this is huge. He says, my church. He says, my church. And here this is huge because his church takes the gospel. His church is there is heaven and there is hell. His church, the gospel message, the good news is that there is God Almighty and there is Satan. The good news is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, who's Jesus, who's the head of the church. And if you believe in him, you will not perish. But there's the opposite of that. If you don't believe in him, then you will perish. And there, watch this. This is the gospel. And this is what Jesus said. This is huge. And you will come to a place to believe that this doesn't make every church a church. Just because there's so many different denominations and so many different classes of church, just because they have church at the end of their name, unless it's this church, unless it's a church that will preach Jesus, unless it's a church that keeps Jesus as the center, Jesus as the nucleus, unless it's a church that will preach Jesus Christ crucified, died on a cross, raised from the dead, I believe it. I believe what this says. If there's anything that doesn't put Jesus first or salvation through Jesus, it's not a church. Come on. There's so much fake out there. And the enemy is the best at lying and deceiving. Jesus said, this is what my church looks like. I'm the rock. I'm the foundation. It's only through me. You can't put They can put the name church, but it's not this church. They have a very serious, ugly misrepresentation of what Jesus said, I will build my church. And it's not his church. And we don't mess around and think that it's okay. When people go to a false church that's not preaching Jesus, you're messed up. You don't know Christ. You've bought into a lie. The enemy loves it. But when the King of Kings, the Son of the Living God, comes to a place to say, this is my church, and it's built only on me. When it's not Jesus Christ crucified, it's not church. When it's Jesus, well, he was only a good man, that's not church. When it's, well, yeah, there was a guy, his name was Jesus. Maybe he was a prophet, but I don't believe that he was the Son of God. That's not church. This is church. And Jesus Christ is the center and the nucleus, and he says, it is my church. Come on, I got a minute. I want to just read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and then we'll pray, and I just want you to get this, please. I think this is so significant to what Jesus is saying here. I do. I think there's a significance to this. When you break this down, he says, I will build, he uses us, it's amazing, my church. What happens when you can buy into this real big picture here? What happens when you, in your spirit, in your heart, you can buy into the truth to this, to say, I belong to him. Man, the church is his. Jesus is the head of the church. And when I know that, I can bank on it's going to be okay. When I know that, I know that the church is going to survive. When I know that it's his church, I can say God is going to see it through. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. I'm not talking BC. I'm talking about the church from every nation and every tongue. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ worldwide that gathers. That's the church that Jesus Christ say, it's mine. It belongs to me. And you look at Isaiah 43 and you make this thing personal. Isaiah 43, God Almighty says, you, Sean, are mine. You belong to me. When you come to a place to even see New Testament, in 1 Peter 2, watch at verse 9, it says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people, watch this, a people for God's own possession. The church isn't fragile. The church isn't broken. The church isn't losing. What happens when you get the right picture here? Say, I belong to the church that is led by the creator of the universe. That I belong to him as a church. It's going to be okay. The church is going to survive. As if the Lord didn't know all of this crazy was going to take place. Of course he did. And the statement 2,000 years ago rings true still yet today. Because our king has not yet returned. To say, I am still building my church. And we need to unwrap all the bubble wrap and all the fragile and all the tiptoeing like we think something's wrong with the church. Like we think we're losing. Like we think the devil got ahead of us somehow. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Jesus says, I will build my church. And you belong to me. You belong to me. For you have been taken out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Church, that's us that we come to a place to say, no, we have the victory. No, we have the victory. We have one who has been conquering and will conquer and will continue to conquer because my King and my Lord and my Master is the one who is building the church, and we are not behind in any way, and we are not losing in any way, and we are not a fragile bunch of wimps who just have to tiptoe through the daisies. No, we are the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, that is led by Jesus Christ, called by Jesus Christ, formed by Jesus Christ, and we belong to him. And BC, everything's going to be okay. Come on, are you with this? Here we go. Amen. Oh. Come on, if you would just bow your heads, please. Man, where are you today in this? Because I tell you what, I'm not worried one inch about the church. It's not BC. I'm talking about the church. I know who's in charge of it. And I know that he uses us, as broken and messed up as we are. What an incredible picture. And I know that it's his. The one who is the King of the nations, the one who is the great I am, the one who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. The one who has always been and always will be. Everything is going to be okay. And we as the church, this is our moment to stand tall. This is church. This is our moment to be fierce and to be ferocious and to double down on the things of truth. This is our moment to say, no, 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 no. My king is in charge. It's time for me to hold ground. And it's time for you to not think that we're losing the battle, but no, we will be victorious and we will conquer. It's time for the church to double down on truth. It's time for the church to not be afraid. Public opinion, political opinion, personal opinion, family's opinion. We're not afraid. Because I know who our leader is. I know whose church I belong to. Man, just bow your heads if you're in this place and you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, man. I'll give you a minute. I'll give you a minute right now that you would come to a place said, man, I need to be with Jesus. I want to be a part of the church. I want to be a part of that. That's amazing. I want to be a part of that. Whether you're here this morning, whether you're watching online, whether you're in your home, your car, whether you're at work, you're in this place where you know that God by His Spirit is doing something within you. That you're like, I want to be a part of that. I'm broken. I've been waiting to be good enough. I've been waiting to get my A game going before I came to Jesus. Well, guess what? Jesus is like, today's the day of salvation. Right now in your brokenness. We come to Him based on our brokenness. Cannot do it ourselves. Cannot be good enough. Cannot wait for your A game. And you're in this place this morning to say, I know I need Jesus, man. I want to be a part of His church. Then you need to come to a place to say, I admit my sin. I get it, man. I'm broken. I've sinned. I'm separate from God because of sin. I deserve death. That's what I deserve. But because of the great grace of God, that He would send His only begotten Son to die on the cross for me, to give me eternal life, that which I do not deserve. I want in on that. I want that. I want to admit that my sin, I want to admit that I need to repent from sin, that I'm wrong. Now, secondly, I want to believe, Jesus, You're the answer. Jesus, You're it. Jesus, You're the door. You're the key. Jesus, You're the way, the truth, and the life. There is absolutely no other way. There's no other church except You, Jesus. There's no other option except You, Jesus. Jesus, You're it. I believe in Jesus. I trust in Jesus alone and nothing else. And see, we come to a place to confess. Lord, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised You from the dead, and in that I shall be saved. I confess that You are Lord, that You are my King, and that You are my Master. And I make an agreement that I take a knee to You. I surrender. I surrender to You. A, B, C. You're in this place, man. Heads bowed real quick, man. You're in this place and you're like, I want that, man. I want to be a part of this. You just simply will come to a place right now to say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my sin. I believe, Jesus, You're the only answer. You're it. You're the only way to the Father. And right now in my heart, I just come to this place to confess that You are Lord. And I believe that You were raised from the dead, sitting at the right hand of the Father, that You have conquered death, hell, and the grave. And that You would fill me with Your Spirit right now. Man, I just want to just take a second and we'll close in a song that You would, wherever you're at in this place, wherever you're at online, you come to a place to say, the church is not fragile. I don't have to tiptoe anymore. Jesus knows what He's doing and He is in charge and He's never failed. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Amen, BC. I love you.